Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 28, the fifth paragraph that begins with "In the following chapter." We'll be reading through four paragraphs ending with "I must have this thing," and we'll be reading and commenting on these four paragraphs. Today's readers are Martha Z, who will be reading the 12 steps, Naomi B will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Laura R, Dion R, and Penny LC. The share ID for Tuesday, January 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,178. That's 16178. This morning's Wednesday, January 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 16,183. That's 16183. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha Z to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your loving service. This is Martha C., recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha Z. Naomi B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. Good morning, Martha. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ service workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 28, the fifth paragraph, beginning with in the following chapter. We're reading through four paragraphs, which brings us to the conclusion of this chapter, ending with I must have this thing. We'll be reading and commenting on these four paragraphs. So, good morning, Laura R. If you could get us started, please.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who were once in this class are now among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual, in his personal stories, describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women desperately in need will see these pages, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them, too, I must have this thing. Wow, there's just so much. It's funny, I was looking at this just now and wondering, you know, where to take it, you know. But I think the first two things popped in my head immediately was one, that this is a basic text and that we study it. And it's talking about how, you know, the next chapter is an explanation of alcoholism. And then we go into the chapter of we agnostics. And then we have clear-cut directions, you know. And so what's amazing is that, you know, we sit here and I had a sponsor that told me that in the next, from doctor's opinion to page 43, it's up to you to decide if this is, are you the real compulsive overeater? And so I studied this book with my sponsor and, you know, by listening to fellows on the line. But what it says is, you know, we find we need to have a spiritual experience. And it's interesting, too, is I came into this program thinking that I was not an agnostic. I said, okay, great, kind of like Roland Hazard. I got the, I have the church thing. I have a religion, all is well, we're good. But what's so funny is I actually found it to be a hindrance. Because my God, from where I started to where I am today, has changed so much. And thank gosh for these clear-cut directions that I'm able to put on my resentment was God, you know, or religion, or whatever the case may be, to be able to get where I am today. And it's been a journey, but it hasn't been an obstacle. And what's exciting is that what I missed is that I believed in God, but I didn't have faith in God. And by going through the steps, I learned how to have faith, and that the knowledge wasn't helping me, but the spiritual experience, like the experience. And that's what this book gives us, is having an experience with the steps to develop a relationship with a higher power. So one day I can say, yes, I am one of them too, if I am. And, you know, I've heard people talk about, I don't know if I've ever experienced a fellow who I've worked with that hasn't been a compulsive overeater or an alcoholic, but I have heard that people aren't, you know, when they do get through this work and they're like, wait a second, that's not me. So it's so great to look, is this me? Do I identify in? Do I, you know, when we get to Bill's story, do I eat, think, and act like Bill? You know, and then what's so cool is that, again, you know, being like, for example, I was talking to a woman just recently, and she's brand new, like never been into any 12-step program. And she's been listening to Vision, and it's so amazing because she's like, oh my gosh, these guys, you know, these people relate to, like, I get them. They're like me. They eat like me. They are like me. And it's so cool that, you know, that last paragraph, we hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste, but it's fully disclosing ourselves and our problems to others that they are able to identify in and say, you know what? Yes, I am one of them too. So I was grateful to be here. Can't wait to hear everyone else's shares. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much for getting us started this morning, Laura R. So although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these four paragraphs that has not shared in the last 3 days?
Rachel K.
Larry G.
Rachel K. Larry G.
Linda R.
I think I heard, did I hear a Linda?
Yes, Linda
Danielle
R.
W.
Oh, Linda R. And who W?
Danielle W.
Danielle.
Bruce E.
Deanna R.
Did I hear Dion R?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who came in after Dion?
Deb E.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to stop there. Okay. So I have Rachel K, Larry G, Linda R, Danielle W, Bruce E, Dion R, and Deb E. So go ahead, please, Rachel K. And if everyone else could press star one to mute. Thanks.
Hi. Thank you, Rachel K from California. This reading says so much. I mean, four paragraphs. Where do I start? But I like, oh, wait a second. I lost it. Where it says, first of all, it's not talking about each of our individual stories describes like how we stopped drinking or how we stopped eating or how bad we were. Although it does include that, like all the stories do, it talks about the way he established his relationship with God. You know, the thesis statement of this book, of the purpose is how to establish a relationship with God. And because that is, you know, the key to my eating problem, to all my problems, is establishing that relationship. Not just, you know, believing in God, but having a relationship with God. And I like also where it says, we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing. That, you know, I've been recovered and around these rooms for a long time. And, excuse me, a lot of times, you know, I don't want to disclose myself that still, you know, I still get resentful, that I still have fear, that I still, you know, have all these defects. But it's only through, when I do those things, not only do I do it because, you know, the big book tells me to, and it says in the directions that I need to keep on disclosing myself. So I do it for me, and so that those things don't, you know, cloud up the relationship between me and God, which I desperately need, but also because those things help whoever I'm disclosing to. Those things show, you know, other people, if I don't disclose my character defects, my imperfections, my weaknesses, then how is anybody going to possibly relate to me and have hope that they too can put down the food, which, you know, God has enabled me to do now for many years. So anyway, that's all I've got. Thank you, everybody, doing service on this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from California. And good morning, Larry G. You're up, followed by Linda R. Star one to unmute, Larry.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. Welcome to all the newcomers on this call. I better show up today being completely truthful and vulnerable because my sponsor is on this call. Oh, man. You can't even hide out amongst 7,000 members of this fellowship. 42 personal experiences. I've read every one of those 42 stories, and every one of them talks about how they had the idea that one day they could drink as a normal fellow, and how that thinking brought them to the gates of insanity. We have 7,000 people on this fellowship who have proven that we can't eat like normal people. We could write an encyclopedia of all the ways that we try to control food and eat like normal people. And I've held out on that for 26 years in OA. I'm also an alcoholic, and you know, I'm recovered alcoholic, and I never once believed after August 2nd, 1981, that I could drink like a normal fellow. But in this program, I have chased that delusion for 26 years until May 17th of last year. Yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. The idea that I can eat like a normal fellow has to be smashed. And going through the steps is not going to help me if I haven't surrendered. Thank God for my sponsor. We were going through the steps, and I did some compulsive eating on a abstinence food, and we took a break. And I didn't like it at the time. I thought it was thwarting my ambition to get through so I could commence working with others. But thank God for her wisdom, because I wasn't ready to move forward. We do a disservice taking people to the steps and they haven't surrendered. That's just my opinion. But I welcome all the new people on this call. I can tell you today that I have had a major surrender and breakthrough. I no longer, food is no longer my God. It's now third or fourth in the list of priorities in the day. The real miracle here is not that I have given up an alcoholic food. It's that I have moved towards freedom, the freedom of the insanity of the obsession. My name is Larry. I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. in California. And good morning, Linda R. You're up, followed by Danielle W.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Linda R. recovered in South Florida. Grateful to you and to the fellowship for all your service. I really, you know, this paragraph really, I related a lot and identified. And I, can you hear me? Hello? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine,
I'm sorry, I'm on the phone if somebody tried to call me. Anyway, so I identified because, you know, I've been in program a very long time and working these steps an entire lifetime. And, you know, really my food's been, you know, very, very good. Thank God I'm abstinent food-wise. But when I got to step three, I rallied for many years because I made the decision to turn my life and my will over to God as I understand God. However, I really did not have a broad understanding of my relationship with God. So through the last, I'd say, decade, I have been cultivating and nourishing and nurturing my relationship with my personal higher power. And there's a lot of communication, a lot of collaboration. And as a result, I have a very solid relationship of depth and weight with God, just like I have a solid relationship with the steps. And today, my God is a very broad God. My God encompasses everything, and I can really connect with God now, and I really trust God. That was the thing that was missing. I believed, but I didn't trust. Thoroughly relying and understanding step three. That's where I rallied for so many years. So today, thank you, dear Lord, that I have 10, 11, and 12, and I can now really, you know, continue my spiritual enlargement. but it was the awareness that I had a spiritual malady. And as a result, I was able to really broaden my spiritual educational variety with my higher power today. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Linda R. in Florida. Danielle W., it is your turn, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. Happy to be here this morning. You know, this one line, we find such convictions, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. Wow. You know, when I came into the rooms, I could not get out of my own way. People would start to talk about God, and I was looking for the exit. You know, and I had such prejudice against religion and, you know, the idea of having a relationship with a higher power was just inconceivable to me. I believed in the idea of God, but that was about as close as I could get to it. And despite my own struggles, I was able to find a path. We're given an opportunity to find a path toward that relationship, regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we think we believe. And for me, it was through the identifying in. I am one of them too, and I must have this, because I could see God working in other people's lives. I didn't know that I would be able to get there. I didn't know how to get there, but I could see it, and I wanted what they had. And, you know, I can't think of another way, another inclusive way of bringing people toward the most important relationship in their lives. Even if they're like me and they're going to block their own progress, these simple steps, you know, open up a door to an extraordinary life. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Danielle W. in California. And good morning, Bruce E. You're up, followed by Dion R.
Okay, Bruce E. in Southwest Florida. And I hope that I haven't been on the line and shared in the last two or three days. I apologize if I did that. I heard this first speaker say, I believed in God, but I didn't have faith in God. And that was my problem when I came in the program, into Vision and into OA some 30 years ago. I believed in God, but I didn't have faith in God. Or I didn't have the right kind of faith. I don't know. Something wasn't right working, because I was praying, but I wasn't getting abstinent and I wasn't getting recovered. But getting into this vision, I got it. I got recovered. It's an amazing miracle to me. This is that, you know, it talks about agnostic. As we understand it, then a chapter is addressed to the agnostic. And that has turned out to be one of my favorite chapters in the book, the chapter on the agnostic. I didn't think I was agnostic until I read that chapter. I thought I knew everything, you know, about spiritual stuff. And then I started reading that chapter and I found out, man, you know, I'm agnostic in a spiritual program, you know, and when I'm walking around fearful, I'm just an agnostic, you know. And now, I was an atheist all my life until age 38, and I had a spiritual experience then at that point. And then after that, I thought I knew everything. So God had to get all that ego and pride out of my way, and this problem has humbled me. It really has. And I have really had to surrender to my higher power on this one. This has been a tough disease, and I've had to surrender to my sponsor and God, and I've had to surrender to doing these steps, and also to doing these activities. So every day I try to call a number of people, talk to a number of people, read some literature, work with people that'll work with me, and be responsible by not being in isolation and email, texting my sponsor at the end of the day every day, and texting others every day at the end of the day to do a kind of a check-in, let them know how I'm doing, let myself know how I'm doing. So it's taught me responsibility, to be responsible for myself, to do these activities that have kept me recovered. And can I lose this thing? Yeah, I probably can lose this thing. Yeah, if I don't do these activities, I can lose it. And I don't want to lose it. I want to stay recovered, because that keeps me in peace with myself, and it helps me to be at peace with others. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Brucey from Florida. Dion R., you're up, followed by Deb E. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning. Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Dion R. from Ohio, recovery. I'm very grateful. What's standing out to me is that first paragraph at the bottom where it says, they talked about what's coming, which is more about alcoholism. And as we understand it, you know, more about compulsive overeating, as I understand it, my powerlessness, the agnostic, as I understood it. I didn't know that was one in the beginning. I, like many who have said, I was in that category. But it goes on to talk, many who were in that category, you know, surprisingly, now we find that I don't stay there. I didn't stay there in that category. And I think that's the growth. And when I stopped fighting, that because I was where I was at and accept where I was at, that I finally said, okay, well, maybe I am, after 20 years of research. Okay, I got to be a compulsive overeater. Because I marked it in this my study guide, the big book, the one I used then, and it's dated September 16, 2012. And I surrendered June 23rd, 2012. So, like, it took a while, but I was working through this. And I said, when I wrote it, it had written, yes, I am one of you compulsive overeaters. I must have this recovery too. And they put the date on it, because that's when I knew my mind was open. You know, I wanted, I saw and I heard and I received. And I feel I have to give back what was freely given to me. That's the debt I'm going to continue to pay, because I love paying it to, you know, I just love it. Somebody told me, don't reinvent the wheel. Just give it like they gave it to you, right? Number one. And stay open to other changes God has in my life. And he's worked so many other miracles and still is in my life. But I give it with joy. And I have hope, you know. And I don't know. I don't know if it's working for others, but it works for me. And I just love it. I don't know. I don't have much to say, I tell you, but that it just, it works. But guys, thanks for allowing me to share, and I'm glad you're all here.
Okay. And thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. And Debbie, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone that we're on page 28, the fifth paragraph that begins in the following chapter. We're reading through the end of that chapter. So there's four paragraphs we're commenting on this morning. I'll be taking some names after Deb E. So go ahead, please, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And the parts that stood out to me are the second half of the last paragraph, the words desperately in need. I needed to be desperate and at rock bottom to be willing to even look for a way and to be willing to start doing the work. I'm really grateful that I came into program fairly young. You know, I was 26 when I came to my first meeting, and I think sometimes about what it would have been like for me to come into program, you know, 20 years later, where I am now. And I'm so grateful that my tolerance level was, you know, that I reached that rock bottom at that point and didn't have to wait more years to find help. And then it says, believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to stay. And, you know, it's that rigorous honesty that we have to have. And I talk often about how I've gone through different levels of honesty, you know, as my recovery has grown and as I've dug deeper and understood more about what was behind my compulsive overeating. And that last line is my favorite. Yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing I felt so not a part of for so long, especially growing up. I just felt like I was different, and I especially, you know, around food, I just happened to be surrounded by so many like skinny friends who could eat anything. I never showed on them. And so I was different in that way, but then I was also different. I knew like that I just obsessed over food, and it was never enough. And I'd watch them eat like these portions that looked just ridiculously small to me. And I was like, why can't I just eat like that? Like, how can they do that? How can that be enough? How can they just leave it? And it really, you know, that's the line that's what helps me identify in and go like, this is where I belong. These are people who understand me. This is people I can relate to. And that I must have this thing. That allows me to recognize what the problem is, and to be able to start working on a solution, which is a spiritual solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Okay, I will be taking some more names on these. We're at the end of There Is a Solution, starting on the last paragraph on page 28, reading through the end of 29. And who else who has not shared in the last 3 days would like to share on these four paragraphs?
Penny L.C.
Jody E.
Audrey M.P.
Okay, I heard, was it Audrey M.P.?
I did.
And who came? Okay,
Bonnie
and who came
M.
in with odds? Bonnie M?
Yes.
Okay.
Elaine B.
Okay, we will stop there then. Penny L.C., Jody E., Bonnie M., Audrey M.P., and Elaine B. So go ahead, please, Penny L.C.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. I appreciate as we wrap up this chapter, and I can reflect back. They told me in the beginning that there was a solution, and they've shown me throughout the chapter what this solution is, what this design for living is, and how a new life is promised. But how, again, though, more direction is needed, and they also promise that. They promise clear-cut directions that will be given in following chapters of how we have recovered. And I remember thinking that word seemed very pious, very intimidating. And yet I've come to understand that that is my higher power's will for me, that I would be recovered so that I would be able to give back. And I feel grateful to be able to feel comfortable at that point, having received the neutrality from working these clear-cut directions. And how it's so well outlined in this text that it's able to show me how to live life, my owner's manual that I've always sought out. And here it is, all outlined very clearly, if I'm willing to do the work. And then toward the end of the book, they give wonderful examples of how each of those individuals recovered by finding a spiritual solution. And there again, pointing us back to the solution. What is the solution? yes, it's doing the 12 steps, but it's having that spiritual awakening, that spiritual experience, to be able to connect with our higher power. I know that that has been what has kept me on this path of recovery. And I know that through the fellowship, I've been able to identify, yet through the steps, I've recovered. And by going to meetings, I know I feel better in the community. But by working the steps is how I get better. And I'm so grateful to be getting better each day and on this journey and to be walking it with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. from Washington. Good morning, Jody E. You're up, followed by Bonnie M.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. I looked up the word establish from the sentence, the way he established his relationship with God. And it says, to found, build, or bring into being on a firm or stable basis. So in the stories, each individual shares how he established his relationship with God. And when I think about how I have established and am establishing my relationship with God, I can see that it's been a process. Certainly has been a process. Looking back on my life, I can see that my relationship with God began very early. And God, I had spiritual experiences even before I knew they were spiritual experiences. When I got into program, that was another spiritual experience. I had a spiritual awakening when I got into OA 33 almost years ago. And now, my faith, my relationship with God is deepening. I rely more on God than I ever have before. So this is a growing, living relationship that is being established as I work these 12 steps, as I abstain, and as I grow as a person in my life. It's a wonderful journey. It's an exciting journey, and I encourage anyone who maybe doesn't know if they even believe in God to just work the steps to the best of your ability, abstain, and you'll see your relationship with God grow organically, and it's I am grateful and excited to see how it progresses from here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. And Bonnie M., you're up, followed by Audrey M.P. Go ahead, please, Bonnie.
Hi, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot say that I am recovered. I am actively compulsive and totally out of control, eating everything in sight, and totally feeling like a lobster without a shell, and any inkling of thinness that I feel, I consume food to fill myself up again, to somehow guard myself against the world. And I am exploring with my therapist why I do that. I've been through every stage of food compulsion and sickness, bulimia, anorexia. I've been up and down the scale my whole life. And I'm really reaching out for help. I just guard myself, and I'm scared, and I just consume and consume, and I'm like a vacuum, and it's got to stop, and I want to find other ways of gratifying myself. I'm a musician and a composer, and I want to find joy in my music and not joy in the next candy bar, the next, huge meal. And I encourage anybody to give me support and reach out. My number is 781-571-9.
Bonnie. Yep. I'm going to stop you there. If I could, please, can you tell me what state you're from?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay. And Bonnie, if you could stay on after the recorded session, and we will take your phone number, and you'll get lots of calls. Okay. So after the recorded part ends, then we'll take your phone number. We don't want it on the recorded part. Okay.
You bet. You bet.
Okay. You bet. Thank you so much, Bonnie M. Thanks for Massachusetts. Okay, Audrey MP, you are up, followed by Elaine B. Star one to unmute, Audrey. You there, Audrey?
I'm now unmuted. Kathleen O,
there
thank
you, are.
You, and Team Wednesday, thank you. Oh, my gosh. I love what I've heard. It's such a great meeting. Yay, Team Wednesday. And this really meaty passage. We rarely read more than a paragraph. And when we do, it's like, uh-oh, which one do I relate to? All of them, and to everyone who's shared before me. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Southern California. And I like what I heard about the thesis of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, to find a higher power to help you with your problem. And at the end, I must have this thing. The other day I was a tech support for an OA meeting, and I'd written a chat to someone, and I made a typo, and I wrote more about also holism. I messed up the C for the S, and the also holism is just like my food problem too. The food problem and the dilemma. And when I was new, I have 27 years of bottom line abstinence, and I now understand and have neutrality against the foods that, you know, I used to call my friends and my lover and my nighttime partner and my everyday all day friend. I could just reach for something and take a bite, and I as it would just like melt or go down my throat, it would just be like ah. And I thought when I was a newcomer and I was asked to do a fourth step, I thought, I'm going to die. I'm going to die with these secrets, and no one is ever going to know all of my upbringing and my persona and who, you know, you're going to call me on who I think I am. And I'm going to really discover now in my recovery in 27 years, I'm going to discover who I really am. And because of a vision for you, I get to be the best me every day. because I have a higher power that I trust and love, and he loves me. And I ask him every day in my meditation and my prayer and listening to all of you, how can I be of service today? And how can I share what I know? And I've got a long way to go. I'm still cleaning house and trusting God and, you know, and being of service. And I'm into this thing. I'm in it with all of you. And I just really appreciate having a minute to share, because I have this thing. I have this also holism. and I'm just really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey MP in California. And Elaine B, good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen O, and everybody on the line. So grateful. Welcome, newcomers. I love the title of this chapter, There is a Solution. And whether you've experienced it or not, there is a solution. Whether you've experienced it, you've gone into relapse, there is a solution. And whether you're here and you've been here for years abstinent, there's still a solution. Because, you know, I love, we're talking here about people's stories, and Fred shares his story. It's a little ways to go. It's in the next chapter where we learn more about alcoholism, more about this disease. But when Fred's sharing his story, he says, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and, I hope, more useful than the life I lived before. And, you know, that's it, a relationship with God. That's what this is all about. This is about God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves in terms of our relationship with food. But then I found, as I did these steps, that it wasn't so much what I was eating, it was what was eating me. And what do I do about it? How can I fix it? I needed a spiritual experience and a deeper relationship. And you know what? I need that relationship to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper every day. If I had a relationship with my spouse that was like, yeah, we talked once on Sunday morning. And then, I remember again, I had a phone call Wednesday night and we talked for a little bit. And then, and then I got on my knees and I said something. But that's about the extent of my experience. But I do say something every morning. I get on my knees, I say something. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about somebody who can help me solve my problems. And I came into the rooms having a relationship with God, but there were obstacles to my spiritual experience. That's what it talks about, is that, you know, we find no such convictions a great obstacle to a spiritual experience. We may have had convictions that kept us from exploring. We have other obstacles. I discovered in my fifth step what my obstacle to a higher power I had a relationship was, but why it was limited. And that limit came off. To the family afterwards, it talks about that Father may have found a gold mine and only learns that he can keep mining from that gold as long as he gives the whole thing away. And that's where our story comes in. And I love that we can be self-revealing in these rooms. I found an honesty and a community and a relationship that I never found before, because I get to be who I am. I can be real. I can be not enough. I can need help. And that's a good foundation for relationship with God and others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. Okay. We're going to go ahead and stop because we only have about less than 2 minutes, and I don't want to have everyone. And does anyone want to do a very short share?
Yes, Sherry from Nevada. I could do a short
okay.
one.
Go ahead, Sherry. You only have about a minute, but go ahead.
No problem. I like the idea that from his point of view, he established his relationship with God, and that's what each of the people do, and it takes me back to the three steps. Step one, I have to admit. I just acknowledge. I don't take this step. I don't do it. I just acknowledge my powerlessness and accept it. And then that double whammy, can't stop when I start. And I can't stop myself from starting again. And the fact that I have the ability to see God as I understand him. something greater than myself, because obviously on my own I cannot do it. So I know that's addressed in the agnostics, and I just think it's not a question of determining what God is or the proving his existence. It's just a question of being willing to accepting something greater than me to help me. And if I'm willing to go through the steps, I'm promised the spiritual experience. And that's what we see in the stories. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thanks for your service.
And thank you, Sherry in Nevada. And thank you so much for everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Wednesday, who really helped make this meeting go smoothly and happen. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dion R., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, this is Dion R. again. Yes. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't caught. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,